B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN. Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Great conversation, my brother. Great conversation. Let's continue it with the people. C.D. Dan. C.D. Dan.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you making
out? What's up, buddy?
Much. I wanted to give you a touch on the subject and give you a baseball point, but before I do that, is there any way that you can either screenshot and post up that tournament that we're doing?
Oh, yes, we will. We will. We will tweet that out.
I got a prediction for the Final Four, but I don't know the region, so I didn't want to.
Oh, all right.
You know
oh,
what
good.
I mean?
Sure, sure.
And I want to do it with a couple Cinderellas. You got to have a couple Cinderellas come out.
I want to give you two games, too. So I'll give you two games.
All right. So, you know, I called you yesterday. I kind of agree with your premise with Doug and Carson, but kind of leaves me question. And I think I got an answer from him. Where Howie is with all this. And I think, not to say that this is a problem at all, but this is just my opinion. I think that Howie's more with Doug, which is kind of confusing because Howie's the one that went up to get Carson, but I feel like he's kind of like in that same boat as Doug where they're not like tight, and I don't expect the GM to be that way. But if it came down to a decision, I think Howie would side with Doug over Carson, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I don't know. What the hell do I know, you know?
Carson represents Howie's jewel, right? Like, he's the one who made the trades to get up to draft him. Like, they were magnificent moves that he goes from 13 to 2, right? Which nobody thought he had a chance to do.
Yeah, and so, it was great, but can any GM in the league that drafts a quarterback like Carson, and let's say it doesn't work out and Carson moves on, most GMs, they're, you know, their jobs are in jeopardy. I don't think Howie's would be. I really don't. I think he's that tight with Jeffrey Lurie, and I don't think he has to concern himself as much. Now, like I said, what do I know? This is all, I'm only going off what I hear, what I see. I'm not behind the scenes. Maybe I don't know.
No, it's fair to have an opinion on your home. You follow your home team. Same thing with Andrew. He follows his home team.
I live and breathe my home team.
I put a lot of stock into what Eagles fans say about the Eagles. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
I mean, I think you guys see things that are, you know, you pay attention. You see things. So I put a lot of stock. He and I were just debating how we look at other teams, right? Like, it's impossible to talk about other teams and really know them.
You have your opinion on them, of course. You're going to have an opinion.
But they're not really educated, right? Like,
I do it once a week. What I say.
Right, exactly.
Week to week, you know, and I might catch 10 minutes of that Raiders game or whatever. But it's what's fresh in my mind. The highlights on TV, I saw Carr throw back-to-back picks. Now I got a judgment on that. But that's all I'm seeing. I'm not seeing inside the locker room unless I watch the what was it? The show that they did with the Raiders. Real quick before you cut me, baseball point because of the optics. You know, the optics are looking really bad for baseball.
I know.
And you hear all the time it's a dying sport, this and that. So when I was a kid, honestly, this is what got me into it. When my mother went to the grocery store, she used to pick up ballpark franks. Inside the ballpark, Franks used to get a ticket to the Phillies game.
Yep.
So, you know, she would purchase, you know, one for my brother, my dad, and her, and we'd have the extra ticket. We'd kind of go in. You could kind of sit wherever in the vet because it wasn't packed.
Yes.
Do you think that maybe they implement something like that? Because the team is similar to the teams back then. They're not no unbelievable playoff contender.
Well,
they're growing, but they're not there.
The vet was such a vast stadium, right? So the vet, you had, you know, 70,000 people, whereas since Bank Park, you know, you got almost, you know, a little bit more than half, right? So it's hard, right, to have that. But, yeah, I mean, listen, that's all based off of attendance. If attendance wanes, they give tickets away. They'll figure out
ways. Do you think that not just the Phillies, but MLB in general, when they come back, especially if they take the year off, they decide to take the year off, do you think that they might have a problem with that, or do you think it all just goes back because people are just so eager to get out there? I mean, because you're going to have basketball, hockey, and football before that.
I think there'll be an issue. I agree. I think there'll be a little bit of an issue. Look, baseball's right, already under. Already has an issue. All right, real quick, let me give you games. CD Dan.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the 116 in this region is dog versus good looking.
Dog all day long.
All right, now I'm going to give you this one. This is a, let me give you the 7-10 game. Partner versus youngin.
Hold on a second. What's up, partner? What's going on, youngin? Oh, man. Oh, God. I'm going to go youngin, dude. I don't see myself.
Youngin,
I'm not a partner
with the upset.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Over partner. Wow.
Absolutely. Have a good day, Andrew. Thanks, Andrew. Good to see you back, bud.
Look at it. You agree, Tunis?
Yes.
You're all about the youngin.
Yes. I've used youngin. I've been called youngin. I'm in on youngin.
All right.
I think partner is overused on a certain broadcast, and I'm out.
I got you. Okay. But, you know, you'll hear that from broadcast teams, like obviously with Ala, you know,
yes.
Tuesday partner.
Yeah.
But I've been called partner down, you know, on the street.
In Philly?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's more like
is it near one of the country bars I've gone to?
No, it's more of an urban thing. Yo, partner. What's up, partner? I've gotten that.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about country bars.
So. I'm still going young and
I'll
over partner.
Defer to you. No, yeah, listen, I think that's a great matchup. I think I like youngin moving on. I'm with you.
What was the first one you gave out?
Dog versus.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's.
Good looking, yeah. Well, that's 116.
Yeah. Look, good looking was just happy to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, why we might as well just put it in the other region, the brother region, the 116 is brother/brother. Versus Skip. So we might as well just move it along.
Good morning,
right?
Skip.
So, and then Dude versus Slugger, right? Do we even need to play it?
No. No.
So Dude moves on. All right. This way we're not wasting time with that stuff. I agree with you. Slugger was happy to be there. Like, good luck.
I think Skip... Made it to halftime down two, and then they lost by 15. But the other ones were were putting their 10th, 11th, and 12th men on the bench in the game already.
I love it
in the second half.
I love it. Let's go to Chris in South Philly. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charlie in the Northeast. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Charlie.
Oh, he dropped two.
All right, how about Patrick in Delaware? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Ben?
What's up, Patrick? How are you, brother?
I'm good, brother. Can you hear me? I got the mask on.
Yeah, I can. Cool.
Nice. Yeah, so I actually, I don't even have Doug, the best coach in the division anymore, to be honest. I mean,
you have McCarthy?
No, I like Ron. Ron Rivera.
Oh, Ron. Yeah, I forgot about Ron. Yeah,
Riverboat Ron.
Yeah, and, I forgot about Ron.
We'll see after this year.
Yeah, you know what? Interesting. I forgot about Ron. Ron's a good coach, man. You're right.
I like Ron a lot. A lot of respect to Doug, but I think he's in the 8 to 12 to 15 category with, like, the McVays of the world. I like Ron or Mike Zimmer up in Minnesota.
I do, too. I think he's a good coach, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I give deference to guys who have been doing it for 5 to 10 years on the same team. It's a really tough job, and guys who can grind. And the other thing, too, I agree with you. I don't get what the riff is with him and the quarterback. It's just weird. Little things, and I agree with you. You know, you pick up on it. The calling him the quarterback, not by name. Yeah. It's just interesting. It's really, and I think that, I see what Bill and Tom did, but, Tom is a Hall of Fame quarterback and Bill's a Hall of Fame coach. They're just not there yet, those two. So, it may be a respect thing, and maybe Carson doesn't take his cues from Doug and looks at him as a, you know, former backup. Who knows, you know? So
yeah, I mean, it could be like we kind of, because I think we like Carson a lot, we could be letting him off the hook, and he could be actually more resistant to that. And maybe that's, you know, Doug respecting his boundaries. I don't know.
Yeah, you can tell. And Carson's a really headstrong guy. And, you know, Doug is, and I've always agreed to the point that, you know, he is a great, you know, leader of people. And he's a motivator. I totally agree with that. But the thing is, when they bring him in, the whole thing is these, you know, the emotional intelligence cues. He's emotionally intelligent with everybody except for the starting quarterback. He wants to be Tom Coughlin with Carson Wentz and everybody else. He's their best friend. It's, you know,
God, you're so right. That is such a Patrick. What a great point. God.
I appreciate, but it's hard to say. I don't want to say backed into, but I think it really caught lightning in a bottle in 2017. It was the most unlikely of circumstances, but I think this year, and I'm not, you know, I will see, and I hope I'm wrong, but he may be the third best coach after this season in the division. And I don't worry about Super Bowl or playoffs. I worry about the division, you know, start there.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a great call. Let me give you a couple games real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm going to give you Bra versus Brother Man.
Oh, my God. Well, Bra is kind of like funny or condescending, but
that's the 5-12 game. 5 is the Bra, and 12 is the Brother Man.
I hear Bra. What's up, Bra?
Bra moves on, and I'll give you one more. I'll give you the do us a favor and take Bud versus Cool Breeze.
I gotta go Bud. I don't get Cool Breeze a little bit. I'm going Bud.
Bud, it is. Thanks, my man. Thanks. Patrick, great call. You agree, Tunis?
Bra and Brother Man, to me, is closer.
Yeah?
That may be a poll-worthy one right there.
Well, I mean, did I misseed it?
What's
the 5 seed?
No, I don't think that's a misseed. We see 12 seeds bounce 5 seeds all the time in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I don't know, I hear Brother, like, I don't know. To me, Bra is like a... sometimes a D-bag way of saying it. I don't know. Like, I like
it
bro.
Is. No, listen,
I like
is.
Bro, brother, more than Bra.
Yeah, I agree.
I can hear Snell saying Bra.
Yes. But I can also hear them bro. The bro, they kind of kill bro for you a little bit, too. Hey, bro. Yeah, bro. But Bryce, a little bit.
Yeah, but I use it enough in a non-douchey way
I
think it's okay.
I mean, I use a lot of these words.
Do we go poll for Bra versus Brother Man?
I don't.
Or you want to go Bra?
I think you just go Bra. I mean, you know, you want to use. I give you. We got two challenges and two polls.
I'm not going to use a challenge this early, then.
All right. Yeah, I'm not going to use a poll this early. I don't think it's worth it. The Brother Man poll. I mean, you know, I kind of like Bra being a villain. Moving on, too, to be honest with you. So stupid. We got to come back. We got the playback coming up. We got all kinds of stuff. You don't want to miss anything. It's Cuz Ready with Tech Jonas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. And, hey, let's talk DraftKings because this weekend, Clash of the Titans, we're just talking about it. Legend v. Legend. Goat v. Goat. A tale as old as time. Goliath face-off versus Goliath. And they're going to do it on the course. That's right, playing for the love of the game at DraftKings Sportsbook Casino, America's top-rated sportsbook app, has you covered. That's right, they're putting you on the course with a special sign-up offer where you can get up to $1,000. DraftKings Sportsbook Casino is adding to the excitement by offering great prop bets throughout the big event. And if that's not enough to get you to tune in, DraftKings special promotion, how about this? Place $20 in bets on the big event, and you'll receive a free live $20 bet. That's right. Bet 20 and get 20. Not a big golf fan. Don't worry. DraftKings Sportsbook Casino got you covered. DraftKings Sportsbook has recently launched a mobile casino in Pennsylvania with hundreds of options, including blackjack, roulette, slots, much, much more. Download the top-rated sportsbook app, DraftKings, and use code Fanatic when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino, bonus up to a grand. Don't forget, enter code Fanatic and get your big-time bonus only at DraftKings Sportsbook Casino. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino and Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. The bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:23. Hey, Phil, man. You ready for a holiday? You think you're going to take a ride down the shore?
Oh, I forgot there's a holiday coming up. No, I'll be working.
Yeah, oh, could be... How was it last? I forgot to ask you because you were down there last weekend.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful.
I asked you. We didn't talk about it on the air. We talked about it off the air.
Yeah, it was great seeing my parents. I haven't seen them in a while. You know, we did the social distance. We had our chairs more than 6 feet apart. We wore the masks at points. Sometimes I took it off because I could feel that like my face was burning. Because I sat. We didn't go inside their house once. We didn't. You know, we
really?
Didn't bother. Yeah, so we stayed outside the entire time. The only time I went inside was to go to the bathroom. So, but they have the bathroom right near the door. So it's like, I didn't have to walk inside and then go touch anything. We sat outside for like 5 hours and all of a sudden I could feel my face starting to burn, but I was wearing the mask. So I was like, oh my God, there's going to be a ridiculous tan line. So I ended up taking it off.
Mask tan line. Oh my God.
But fortunately, I tan very easily. Like I'm really dark right now. So like it actually evened out. I didn't have some weird tan. I think it helps that I have the patchy beard right now too. So maybe that's hiding it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was nice seeing them and just hanging out. We didn't even go on the beach. They have a corner house. So they have a pretty nice size yard for a shore house. So we could actually spread out and brought the dog down and, had her on like,
nice.
they don't have a fence. So we have this long rope that we bring down. And it's, I think, probably like 20 feet long. So we just let her, you know, go all over the place. And so it was nice. It was just good to see him. I haven't seen him since February. So it was nice.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's fantastic. Yeah, you miss him, man. That's the thing with this social distancing. I don't even know when could you even. I'm going to try to go over my cousins. And we've been talking about we'll go sit on a porch, you know. Then you start to think, you go, well, if I'm clean and you're clean, what does it matter? Right? Like family-wise.
Right.
Now, it's hard for you because Christy.
Right.
And where she works.
Yeah, and you never know, asymptomatic, that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
But it was good seeing them and to get out a little bit. You know, I've been enjoying my backyard at the new place, and it's bigger than the last place I was at backyard-wise. So, but, good. You know, being out in the open air, feeling some of the sea breeze, it was nice.
Yeah, man, nothing like that, man. Let's see. Are they going to make you wear the mask on the beach?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I hate the mask. I got to tell you, I hate it. I mean, I wear it if I'm out in public, but I hate it. I can't stand it. But, I mean, if you're on the beach, like, that would be horrible to have to wear it on the beach. They were talking for girls wearing the trikini where it matches their bikini.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to our playback. And I'm dying to hear what you think because you weren't alive for this. And I was a kid. I mean, I'm literally a kid, child. It was like a big time moment for me that the Sixers had really, you know, the Sixers were a real early love for me. Like, I love the Sixers. And that championship run was an amazing, amazing run. I'm curious what you thought, you know, kind of going back and listening to this thing.
Oh, okay. I thought we were to start. Yeah. It's been really cool. Obviously, we talked about it when we did the Sixers-Celtics, what was it, 82, when they won in seven? Well, I forget what series that was. Or was it 80? When the Sixers beat the Celtics in seven games before they went to the finals and lost.
It was 82.
And, you know, I told you how different it is for me to experience it because I'm so used to three-pointers left and right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing some research with the Sixers, and I saw that, like, Andrew Toney was the Sixers' leader in three-point attempts, and he had 59 on the season. And I go, oh, my God, Steph Curry's taken 59 in two or three games.
How amazing is that?
And Andrew Toney took 59 over the course of 82 games and was not only the leader for the Sixers, but was in the top 10 for three-point attempts. I'm like, oh, my God, this game's so much different.
Yeah, I remember the game. Look, you watched it. We talked about The Last Dance, and you know the game was a little dip. By 98, I mean, you saw a fair share of threes.
Right.
It wasn't like it was in 83, 15 years prior to that. So, yeah, it felt, you know, I'm sure it did felt ancient to you.
And, like, you could see where people make the case, like, wow, basketball's so much better now because of how slow some of the movement is.
Yeah.
But then I also see some really good passing, and there's really good passing now, right? Like with behind the backs and no looks, and I think guys are almost more creative passing the ball now. There were some very great passers back in the day, don't get me wrong, but I feel like you don't have to be John Stockton in today's NBA to make a great pass, right? Like you can be the 10th guy off the bench and still make a great pass because showmanship's so much different nowadays too.
Yeah.
But some of the crisp passes that I watched yesterday when I put it together and today for today's playback, I mean, there's one moment you'll hear later in the game where, you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but it was just a full court pass. And then as soon as it touched the fingers of Doc, he immediately passed it to Bobby Jones. And it's like,
I mean,
this was beautiful.
The touch pass. They ran a break. It was a thing of beauty. It's pretty. Like, I think the game today is pretty. But the game back then was pretty as well. I mean, the Magic Showtime, the Sixers running a break with Bobby Jones and Maurice. Bobby Jones is the trailer. Doc on the wing glided in for the jam. I mean, that was ballet, man. That was amazing. All right, without further ado, game one, bizarre. CBS didn't start airing the game until 7 minutes into it. Amazing. 5 minutes in there with 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Game two, they started airing it on time. And here's Maurice Cheeks with the first bucket of the game live from the Spectrum. Dick Stockton, Bill Russell, May the 26th, 1983.
Maurice Cheeks penetrating. With all the great stars on Philadelphia, Maurice Cheeks, as we've said many times, is the true barometer. The 6'1 guard tells you how well they're doing.
All right, Maurice out of West Texas State. Let's get it further going. Magic's hook shot, you're going to hear, followed by an Andrew Toney layup.
They got the ball into Magic Johnson for the short shot, and we have our third tie of the ball game. Used to be just Julius Erving in Philadelphia, but now it's Malone, Erving, and Toney as the three potent scorers. Andrew Toney, strong in the middle, scores. Between Toney, Erving, and Malone, the Sixers collected 72 points from that outstanding trio.
Wow. All right, so later in the first quarter, you get a little glimpse of today. It's funny when you watch games from the past, and you can see something, a seedling of today's game. And you saw it with Magic and Ben Simmons. Sixers sag off Magic. Give Magic a perimeter shot. Only Magic buries it to give him a 7-point lead.
2:20 remaining in the first period. Lakers by 5, 25-20. Vic Stockton and Bill Russell here at the Spectrum in Philly. They gave Magic Johnson that shot in game one, and he responded just like he did there.
The Sixers would like for him to take that shot, but they didn't know that he'll make overhand.
How about it, Bill Russell?
He's awful.
Terrible.
I don't know if he sounds drunk. I don't like. Dude, there was. I was going through it this morning, and there was one, like, Andrew Toney had a beautiful, like, 180 in the lane layup. It was gorgeous, right? And Bill Russell just jumps on Dick Stockton and just goes, "Oh, Tony's proud of himself for that one," and just ruined the call. And I'm like, and not that Dick Stockton is a guy that's going crazy. He's not theatrical like today's announcers, but it was such a beautiful play. And all you hear is, "I bet he's proud of himself for that one." Thanks, Bill.
You gotta do me a favor next time. Get that. Yeah, I want to hear. I love that stuff. All right, let's get back to the game. Sixers down early. Clint Richardson off the bench in game one at 15. He gets it going again.
Clint Richardson and Maurice Cheeks, the backcourt now. Andrew Toney is on the bench. Irving Malone and Bobby Jones up front. Cooper is doing a defensive job on Cheeks. Clint Richardson. I'll tell you what, Clint Richardson, who played forward in college, is 6'3", but he can battle anyone inside. He scored 15 points in game one, 10 in the third quarter.
How about it? All right. And then Clint starts another run by the Sixers. And before you know it, the doctor makes it a one-point affair.
Landsberger against Malone decides not to challenge him, and he throws the ball over the hands of both teams. Three-on-one break for Philly. Here's the doctor. You turn the ball over against that team, and they will scold you. Magic comes back, but it's an air ball. And here comes Philly again, 2-on-1. And that's how fast it happened. 6 in a row for the 76ers.
Still in the second quarter now. Lakers have a 2-point lead. Bobby Jones misses. A McAdoo turnover. And then Andrew drills it.
Bobby Jones. McAdoo. Had it, lost it, and Andrew Toney comes in. Can't give Philadelphia too many second chances. Then they have another tie.
Especially not Andrew Toney.
He is the one player Pat Riley talks about in his sleep, and I guess the same goes for Billy Cunningham in regard to Magic Johnson. Not so much for his scoring, but the other things he does.
All right. Lakers, though, they go on a run. That's right. Doc on the bench. Andrew having shouldering all the scoring load. He misses, and the Lakers get a run out.
Nixon, who got a hand on the ball. So Norm Nixon on good defense comes back 2-on-1. Wiltz misses, but Michael Cooper makes no mistake. And the Lakers, Pat Riley, have them going now. And a 6-point lead for L.A.
On the 2 minutes left to half, Lakers continue to roll. Now it's Magic.
Toney is double-teamed. Lakers playing good defense. Toney throws the ball away. The Lakers are doing it at both ends of the court right now. Johnson going in, and Magic Johnson gives the Lakers a 9-point lead. 54-45, their biggest lead of the ball game.
All right, Sixers go on a little bit of run their own, and the half, they trail by 4, enter the third quarter, and they start out hot. Doc and Moses.
24 minutes to go, at least, in this ball game. Philadelphia won the opener. They lead 1-0, best of 7. Irving working against Magic Johnson. And Julius rolls it in. Keep in mind that Kareem has 3 personal fouls for Los Angeles, and Julius Irving 3 personals for Philadelphia. 8 seconds on the shot clock and a turnover.
And Murray's cheeks knock the ball loose.
He's always around, like the shadow. Moses Malone. He's having a good scoring game so far with 12 points. And we have a tie. It's our 8th tie of the ball game. And Moses, while he has no offensive rebounds, he's not missed from the field. He's a perfect 5 for 5.
Irv! Perfect. You're how they called fouls personals back then?
Yes.
I forgot about that. Three personals.
Yeah, they go personals. Dick Stockton goes periods instead of quarters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Lakers going another run, though. It's back and forth game. To the Lakers, thanks to Magic again, facilitating like only Magic can, this time to Rambus.
Maurice Teague. Kareem gets the rebound. Out to Magic Johnson. Third rebound for Kareem. Will have four in game one. Magic Johnson into Rambus. What a pass by Magic Johnson on the run.
All right. So, you know, Sixers need to get a run going. And they do it with Mark Ivarone, the starter who used to start and play like 8 minutes a game.
The important thing is how Rambus will do in defending Moses Malone now. That's going to be important because I think Philadelphia may want to go to him now.
Well, they're going to put Bob McAdoo in right now.
You're right. Yeah. Rolls off, loose ball. Ivarone again with the offensive rebound. Basket. Ivarone has 7 points and he has 6 rebounds. He's already had a good game.
All right, so big deal because Kareem gets his fourth foul. And, you know, Kareem was the Lakers' rim protector. So with him out, Six is able to make some hay and listen to Mo take it right down the teeth of the lane.
Now, this is an important part of the game for Los Angeles, Russ. I think you'd agree.
Yes, because they have to hold the fort down probably for the rest of the quarter before they can put Kareem back in it. Because if they put it back in, they'll be trying to get that fifth foul on him. So they're going to have to play this hold the fort with these guys.
And not only that, but McAdoo's going to have to give them scoring because that's why he's in there. In there for necessity, but he's got to give them the offense. Cheeks drop.
That's one of the differences is that with Kareem in it, that shot would not have been available.
What stood out to you on that cut with the Oregon?
I don't know. I was listening to Dick Stockton say, they need scoring from Bob McAdoo. I go, oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
So wait, they were playing the Sixers song on the Oregon.
Really? No.
Yeah, go back and play it.
Oh, I got turned on the bed.
All right. Go back and play it.
It was from the very beginning?
It was like midway through. You'll hear it.
Now, this is an important part of the game for Los Angeles, Russ. I think you'd agree.
Yes, because they have to hold the fort down probably for the rest of the quarter before they can put Kareem back in it. Because if they put it back in, they'll be trying to get that fifth foul on him. So they're going to have to play this hold the fort with these guys.
And not only that, but McAdoo's going to have to give them scoring because that's why he's in there.
It's awesome. Let's go to the fourth quarter. Sixers hold out. They got the lead now. But it's tight. Less than 6 minutes left in the game. Tony on the break turns it over. Magic finds Kareem. Lakers only down a bucket.
So defense, usually the keynote in these games. There's a play right there. Tony coming back with the Sixers up by four. Turn it right back, and at the other end is Kareem. Hello.
Good defensive play by Magic Johnson. He knocked that ball. He chased the ball. He came behind blindside and knocked the ball loose, and they ended up with an easy hoop.
So good defense at both ends, but the Lakers capitalize and again are within 3 points, or 2 points, 85-83.
All right. So now, under 5 minutes to go, and the spectrum erupts after a sky hook. Not by Kareem, not the baby hook by Magic, but by the Sixers, Earl the Twirl Cureton.
Team fouls are 2-2. 4:40 remaining, fourth period. This is crunch time, folks. Earl Cureton. Earl Cureton sends the the fans to their feet with a sky hook of his own. And it's a 6-point lead, matches the biggest for Philadelphia in the ballgame.
2.5 minutes to go. Six is running away with it. They make it 8 off the break.
Kareem gets the rebound. A 6-point lead for Philadelphia with almost 2:35 to go. Kareem has scored the last 10 points for L.A. And Mo Cheeks down court to Julius. To Bobby Jones. Julius to Bobby Jones, the trailer, and they're going wild at the Spectrum.
Wow, the Spectrum going crazy. Sixers hit all the free throws, and they go on to win game 2 of the 1983 NBA Finals, 103-93. And here's how it sounded when time expired.
19 seconds. The only Laker points in the last 4 minutes of the game have been by Bob McAdoo with 2 3-pointers. So in the crunch time, other than McAdoo's 3-pointers, the Sixers have shut out the Lakers. And Philly's going to take a 2-0 lead. There it is. The game is over.
That's it. Sixers up 2-0, baby. Spoiler alert, they're going to sweep. We'll have game 3 tomorrow, game 4 on Friday, and we'll celebrate the only championship that I remember, and you don't remember any. So we need that one, man.
It's starting to become a long time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was a little boy. Yeah.
I was thinking about how long it's been for the Flyers.
Yeah.
This morning, and I'm like, Sixers are at 37 years now.
Yeah, we need it.
Let's hurry this process up a little bit.
We need it. We need it.
I need to grow a bomber.
That's right. All right. We'll get back to the phone calls, conversation, all the good stuff straight ahead. Let me tell you about the uncles, Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. Over at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they got a virtual showroom right now. It's open, ready for business. Simply shop online from the comfort of your home. They'll deliver your new vehicle to your driveway like a pizza. Right now, get 0% financing for 72 months. Make no payments for 120 days. Plus, their service and parts department are open. They're servicing all makes and models, plus sanitizing every vehicle before it's returned to you. Call, chat, or visit them online today. FamilyAutos.com to make an appointment for your automotive needs. Conveniently located at the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall, a mile north of the airport, just off at 95 in Schuylkill, minutes from all the bridges. Now more than ever at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer, you're family. Stay safe. Everybody at Family, the uncles, they look forward to seeing you soon. The offers are available on select new vehicles to qualified buyers, $13.89 per month per $1,000 finance. Down payment may be required. Delay payment. Interest begins 120 days from the date of the contract. See dealer for details. Offer expires June 1st, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 12:52. Beautiful day, a little chilly, but it's going to get better as we hang out. Cuz ready with the Tunis. Tunis is back today, so looking forward to having some fun. Hope you enjoyed the Sixers playback, 1983, the last title for the Sixers. Having some fun. I was telling you a little bit earlier about how excited I was. You know, we had sports this weekend, right? I'll tell you, I've been watching the KBO. I watched the golf, and I was really interested. I was really into the Bundesliga. I was watching some German soccer, and I can't wait until we get our soccer back. The Union, baby. And the manager's on the line with us right now. Philly boy himself, Jim Curtin, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jimmy!
How you doing, Anthony? How are you, Andrew? How are you? Good to be on with you guys, and thanks a lot for having me.
Always. You know, Jim, you're part of the family. You know that. Seriously.
Hope you guys are staying safe and healthy.
Yeah, man. So what kind of progress? Update us on what you're thinking.
Yeah, so we just actually had our first return to individual training. So we're down here in Delaware right now, actually, at the 76ers Fieldhouse. Which was built by BPG Sports, happened to be, part owners of the Union as well. So good connection there and a beautiful facility. So we're out here doing individual training. I have to tell you, it looks different than what maybe we're used to, but it's been great to have our guys now show up with a smile on their face and have kind of the old locker room banter at the correct social distances, but following very strict protocol. I'm actually looking out on the field right now, and a new batch is rolling up of four new players. If you can picture now four separate car spots where they have to sit in the car, you know, they're called out one by one. They get a temperature check. They get their hands washed. They get, they have face masks on, and they're kind of sent to different quadrants of the field. So we're in that initial individual training. So coaches aren't allowed really to interact a ton with them. They're not allowed to have any physical contact, but a big first step forward for what we all want, which is the return to us playing at Subaru Park again soon.
Yeah, it must feel so different for you.
It is.
Like night and day.
It is, for sure. But at the same time, now we've been, quarantined. I think it was 68 days before we were allowed to get back out here. So this has been a breath of fresh air for the staff and for the players. And they're loving it. You know, this is what they're used to, being on the ball, seeing each other, and again, getting back to what they love. And again, it's a time where everybody's starving for sports. It's not every day that we have, news helicopters flying over our practice, just getting a glimpse and taking video of it. So I think that's a real, microcosm of, just how much everybody misses sports right now. 'Cause that's not a normal thing on our day to day.
No, I know it's true. It's got to be like almost a strange culture shock, just the whole thing. How do you see what are the biggest hurdles from what you can gather in starting this thing back up? I mean, it has to do with all sports, and I'm curious, like, what you think are the biggest hurdles to kind of go after?
Yeah, look, there's obviously the CDC side. There's the different states' rules and regulations and government regulations. There's now, everybody wants to be back first, but you also want to do it in a way that's safe for all the players. And you don't want to rush and make any mistakes, because there's still so much unknown with this, Anthony. You know, again, we're all learning, I think, day by day and getting new information. So we're interpreting that as quickly as possible. I think you're starting to see now, you know, if you look at baseball, the NBA, and now Major League Soccer, there is some framework of how we each want to return, and each one is a little bit different, you know, and has approached it a little bit differently. So, as professionals, and again, I stress that this thing is bigger than sports, so don't get me wrong when I say this, but as professionals, it's their job, and it's our job to be ready when we're called upon, and for whatever that is, you know, and that's literally the definition of the word professional. So, that's kind of what we've been stressing to our guys. They've been really working on the fitness side of things. But again, yeah, you're right. It's different. And you see now, you know, like you mentioned, the return to the Bundesliga and the empty stadium. Look, we all love the crowd. You know, that's what players play for. That's where the energy comes from. So it is going to be unique at the start here. But there are little cool things that are popping up too. You hear the communications on the field from the coaches to the players. Yeah. You hear the trash talking a little bit. I think the NBA will be real interesting for that, how they, to hear those little battles and banter that goes on back and forth. So, you try to find positives in a difficult time, but I think we all have to wrap our heads around it's going to be a little different. And look, we all know the feeling in a stadium when it goes off and there's a goal scored or a touchdown or whatever it might be, that feeling that hits your chest, and it's indescribable for everybody. Yeah. But that's going to be gone for a little bit, but it'll make it that much more special, I think, when it does come back for real.
Jim Curtin with us, the manager, coach of the Union. Did you watch the Bundesliga at all this weekend?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I actually have some relationships and friends that are coaches over there.
Yeah,
you're getting tips on how they handle these unique training environments that we have to create. So you're getting ideas from them. But to see it, it's eerie to see an empty stadium, especially, because soccer fans are so passionate. But, once the whistle blows, you still see good soccer. Of course, there's going to be a little bit of rust on guys, as there will be for all sports as they come back. But it's just fun to see competition, and again, I think it's been a challenging time for everybody in a lot of different ways for a lot of reasons. And it does give a little bit of a release, whether that's the golf is coming up this weekend or, once baseball gets going, it's important.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's weird. My guess is you'll answer yes to this question, but I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like some days I'm like really optimistic and I think, it's definitely coming back soon and it'll definitely get there. And there's other days I wake up and you see what's going on and you go, I don't know. I mean, there's so many hurdles, you mentioned the governors for all these different states. I read a piece on ESPN.com about baseball coming back and all the hurdles they have to deal with. And like the governor of Maryland saying the buck stops here, whether or not the Orioles play. And then you got to figure out what you do if somebody does test positive, and you have to figure out how many tests you're going to get, because you also don't want to usurp the public when it comes to the testing and go through tests like there's preferential treatment. So you got to be careful of optics.
Yeah.
You
just hit on a million of the variables that go on, and the amount of conference calls that we're on to try to get this thing right is incredible. And look, you touched on it. The mental side of this, everybody's going through difficult times. You wake up and you have good days and bad days, and it's not easy. It hasn't been easy on anybody. So, the quicker we can at least, again, I won't use the word normal. I've tried to refrain from using that, but a return to what we're, at least comfortable with, again, because normal is going to change for sure. I think that sports can give a positive perspective to different people right now at a time that we really, we really need it, and times are tough, but at the same time, we'll fight through it and get through it together. But there is a lot of detail that has to take place to pull off these sports now, and obviously safety and the health of everybody comes first.
What's the mood of the players? It's funny because there's a lot of brushback with baseball. Now, baseball is different because they're still negotiating the whole deal coming back. But as far as the guys and the risk that's involved in playing, how are they feeling?
Look, we're one of the only teams in our league that did have a positive test a few months back now. So, and that was reported. And, again, we were all around the player, and I'm not downplaying anything, but he had, very mild symptoms and, the equivalent of what we would all call a cold, and he's, fully fine and recovered. So I think them seeing that, okay, yes, someone had it, and there was initial nerves and human nature to be a little bit nervous, and maybe I might get it because we were on a plane together.
Right.
That subsided once they saw he went through it, was totally fine, and they were in communication with him and very supportive of him. So, again, in a weird way, our team has become closer. Calls and the video conferencing and then going through the last dance and breaking that down with the guys, gosh, you'd be amazed how much they talked about that and seeing Jordan for the first time for a lot of them. And again, I've talked to you guys before. We have 12 different countries represented. It's a diverse group. We have a 16-year-old and we have a 35-year-old. So it's a wide range of guys from all over the world. And I think our club has come through this stronger. I'm really proud of the Philadelphia Union.
Awesome.
And things like Tim McDermott started the Fight for Philly campaign, and the players and our fans have really rallied around it. And again, in difficult times, I think is when you learn the most about the culture of your club, and I'm proud that the Philadelphia Union's culture is a strong one.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Jim good.
Curtin with us. Proud of Jimmy's is a son of Philadelphia, lives in town, and we adore him. We do. We love you. I guess one last thing. It's funny you brought up, because I talked to Brett Brown about this as well, about the trying to keep the camaraderie.
Right.
You know, that Zoom quality. He was talking, they did a lot of Zoom stuff. And it's funny how that Jordan documentary just, you know, it transcended every sport. If you're an athlete, you admire Jordan's tenacity and willing to win, you know, one
time. Yeah. Incredible. And of course, I grew up, you know, as you did, in that, you know, Jordan is the man, and these guys are maybe more LeBron or Kobe guys. But it was great for them to see that, to go through it. And listen, oftentimes as a coach, you know, I was putting a lot of time into film sessions, and we'd go on a Zoom, and, you know, you get a little bit of feedback from the players. But I took a new approach and broke down the last dance and put the topics up. And these guys were, because again, it's what they live. You have the, you know, the distractions from maybe the front office, what players are maybe overvalued and undervalued. How do you handle a crazy character in Dennis Rodman, you know, and the dialogue between them and arguing over that, what's right, what's wrong, how much leniency should the coach give, you know, to a special player? Does Jordan have an obligation to stand up more for Pippen at that moment? You know, they got going. I just stepped out, and it was incredible, you know. And then that's not just even sports lessons. Those are company lessons. Those are life lessons. And I thought that it was, you know, really well done and a good thing. And these guys really bought into it. And then, gosh, they did see the level of competition and the way Jordan competed and could carry a team. That was special. I'm biased because I'm from the Jordan times.
Yeah, me too, brother. You know, I feel the same way. Like, I looked at him like, it's not even close. I don't even know how to even say LeBron. Like,
yeah, exactly. There was a million great little conversation points from that documentary, like you said. But, I mean, let's go through the names. One of them was, we went through the names of all the guys that said, oh, we had the Bulls beat, and we would have done this. We were one shot away, and we had the better team. You can go from you know, Charles Barkley, who I love also, but you could go Barkley. You could go Reggie Miller. You could go, you know, Karl Malone. They all said the same thing, but Jordan killed all. There was a list of 10 of them that I had up there that they said, oh, we were one play away. And it's like, well, it's no coincidence he kind of did kill you all off. So
that's so awesome.
It's a special lesson, and obviously a special
play. I love coaches, man. Tunis and I were talking about it earlier. Because you use any tool you can to teach and build, right? Like shape and mold and all that messaging that you got out of a docuseries that you basically took and molded to you guys. And, you know, I love that aspect of it, because it's such a tough thing. I don't think we appreciate good coaching enough, because we look sometimes more at strategy. The idea of leading men.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
A big deal.
And look, there's X's and O's, and you can talk about tactics and picking lineups and all that stuff, but that's, you hit it right on the head. What it really comes down to is man or woman management. That's it, you know, and the relationships you have with these people. It's all about relationships. I can go and watch a high school baseball practice. I can go watch a girls lacrosse practice, and I can steal something from that coach and, you know, and take it and maybe tweak it, make it my own. So I think we always have to be learning and evolving in that regard, just like any other line of work. So again, it comes down to the relationships in your work environment that you create. And again, if these players believe in you, they'll do anything for you. And we have a good group here at the Philadelphia Union. And again, we're itching to get going again, which we're really excited about.
All right, well, we can't wait for you guys to get back. And Jimmy, your family, everybody good?
Everybody is good, buddy. We would be loving, though, just like I'm sure you guys would, you know, the memories of the old, you know, the lazy Sunday on Memorial Day and the fills in the background and hearing the voices just doing a half falling asleep on the couch would be nice right now. But once it comes back, you know, it'll be a special thing once sports are fully back, and it's getting closer now. And again, the safety of the players and everybody right now comes first, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel, which is a real positive for everybody.
That's right, brother. Listen, thank you, man. Be safe, and we can't wait to see you, Jimmy. Thanks, brother.
Thanks so much for having me, Anthony.
Always a pleasure. Jim Curtin, the coach manager of the Union on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.